This is an iHeart podcast.
Okay, let's have a hard talk about where we are, but more specifically, what we have to do right now, because we do have to do something. We are in one of those tipping point, really important times in history. In the lifetime of our country, this moment right now is a very important tipping point. And I say that because we have to march forward right now, with clarity and purpose in destroying the communist menace in this country. Taking apart their violent terror networks, going after the people who fund their violent terror networks. We also have to arrest and imprison the deep state people who use their positions inside the CIA, FBI, to destroy this country. This has to be done now. Now. Not 10 years from now, not when it's nicer, not when it's more convenient. This has to be done now, because what's happening is the communist revolution is getting more overt, more public, more radicalized. We have to kill it now. Now. And to that end, I want to give credit where credit is due, because there are people in our movement, people who are leading our movement, who are saying a lot of very wonderful things, and I'm inspired by what I hear. J.D. Vance, the Vice President of the United States of America, this is speaking with clarity and purpose.
There is no unity with people who scream at children over their parents' politics. There is no unity with someone who lies about what Charlie Kirk said in order to excuse his murder. There is no unity with someone who harasses an innocent family the day after the father of that family lost a dear friend. There is no unity with the people who celebrate Charlie Kirk's assassination. And there is no unity with the people who fund these articles, who pay the salaries of these terrorist sympathizers, who argue that Charlie Kirk, a loving husband and father, deserved a shot to the neck because he spoke words with which they disagree. I am desperate for our country to be united in condemnation of the actions and the ideas that killed my friend. I want it so badly that I will tell you a difficult truth. We can only have it with people who acknowledge that political violence is unacceptable, and when we work to dismantle the institutions that promote violence and terrorism in our own country.
That is wonderful. And it's not just him. Donald Trump, honestly, has been great. Stephen Miller has been better than great. Here, Stephen Miller.
The last message that Charlie sent me was, I think it was just the day before we lost him, which is that we need to have an organized strategy to go after the left-wing organizations that are promoting violence in this country. And I will write those words onto my heart and I will carry them out. We are going to channel all of the anger that we have over the organized campaign that led to this assassination to uproot and dismantle these terrorist networks. So let me explain a little bit what that means. So,
You've got 30 seconds, so be quick, Stephen.
The organized doxing campaigns, the organized riots, the organized street violence, the organized campaigns of dehumanization, vilification, posting people's addresses, combining that with messaging that's designed to trigger incite violence, and the actual organized cells that carry out and facilitate the violence, it is a vast domestic terror movement. And with God as my witness, we are going to use every resource we have at the Department of Justice, Homeland Security, and throughout this government to identify, disrupt, dismantle, and destroy these networks and make America safe again for the American people. It will happen, and we will do it in Charlie's name.
Okay. I don't want to just gloss over how critically important that is, what the Vice President said and what Stephen Miller just said, because they understand the challenge. I would be very, very concerned if all the conversation right now was just about the assassin himself, making sure he gets justice, pretending as if it's just a guy. It's not a guy. Years and years and millions of dollars has resulted in a vast communist network in this country, much of it violent, much of it organized on the internet. And now they're doing weapons training, they're assassinating people, and they're going to get bolder and more violent from here. It is a terrorist network that must be taken apart brick by brick, and that the organ, that the institution, the White House itself, that is a powerful institution, that it acknowledges that, that it knows that and is speaking about that, is hugely important. So I want to make sure I stress that that is wonderful and you should feel good about that. But, and you had to know there was a but coming. J.D. Vance is not going to be leading any investigations. J.D. Vance is not going to be organizing any counterterrorism law enforcement efforts. Neither is Donald Trump. Neither is Stephen Miller. That's not their role. That's not what they're supposed to be doing. It is, however, the role of the top law enforcement officer in the United States of America. It is the role of the Attorney General of the United States of America. Her name is Pam Bondi. Now, I want to clarify something, because I said in the very beginning that we are at a critical tipping point. So this is what I mean. This is our opportunity right now to imprison people like John Brennan. If you take over the CIA and use it for Democrat politics, you use it to run operations against Republicans, you have to go to prison for that. We've discussed that many times before. And other communists in the government have to see you go to prison for that. That's one. Two, this terror network is larger than you know. I want to be clear about this. It's not as if it was one guy. It's not as if it was one group. It has metastasized into groups across the country, red states and blue states, often LGBTQ-based groups of online, mentally broken, soulless demons who talk about violence, plot assassinations. They train with their weapons. They train as a group. Do you remember when a group of them attacked a Border Patrol facility? By the grace of God, the only one who died was one of them. But it wasn't a one-guy operation. It was a group of them carrying out a campaign. We talked about it on this show. We have terrorist cells, homegrown terrorist cells of communists in this country. And that last assassination, the assassination of Charlie Kirk, will not be the last one. They're ready. They're moving. The Attorney General of the United States of America must take them apart brick by brick. It will be massive and it will be controversial. Now, I told you before Donald Trump even picked Pam Bondi or tried to pick Matt Gaetz, I came right here on the TV and I told you, by far, by a mile, the most important pick Donald Trump had to make was Attorney General, because I knew there were networks that had to be taken apart, and we needed a super sharp pit bull who was unafraid of public condemnation at all. I'm going to play something for you that you've seen many times before. I'm going to play her on Fox News when she's asked about the Epstein list. Now, keep in mind, when she's asked by the host, she didn't say Epstein list. The host said Epstein list. When she's asked about the Epstein list by the host, the Epstein list doesn't exist. There's no one list. There's a bunch of files and things like that, but there's no one list. It's not something that exists. When she's asked by the host about the list, I want you to listen to her answer. Here she was.
The DOJ may be releasing the list of Jeffrey Epstein's clients? Will that really happen?
It's sitting on my desk right now to review.
It's sitting on my desk? There's no list, and she knew it. She hadn't even looked at it. But why answer the question that way then? She didn't even know it was on her desk. We know that now. Why answer the question that way then? Do you know why? This is actually the most damaging part. Because that's what he wanted to hear. That's what the host on Fox News wanted to hear. That's what the audience watching Fox News wanted to hear. And so instead of giving hard truths, we're still sorting through things. Some of it's classified. We're going to get to the bottom of this. There's no one consolidated list. There are a bunch of files. We're coming. Instead of giving hard truths like that, we got the people-pleasing answer. It's sitting on my desk. It doesn't work. She went on Fox News, I think this was this morning, and said this.
That's horrific. It's free speech, but you shouldn't be employed anywhere if you're going to say that. And employers, you have an obligation to get rid of people. You need to look at people who are saying horrible things, and they shouldn't be working with you. Businesses cannot discriminate. If you want to go in and print posters with Charlie's pictures on them for a vigil, you have to let them do that. We can prosecute you for that. I have Harmeet Dhillon right now in our civil rights unit looking at that immediately, that Office Depot had done that. We're looking at that. But Sean, you know,
what? The DOJ is now going to force businesses to print the things they want printed? Office Depot already fired the employee who refused to print that. Office Depot heard about it, found out about it, fired the employee. We need the DOJ throwing John Brennan in Fort Leavenworth for the rest of his life. We need the DOJ. We need Pam Bondi tearing down communist networks brick by brick. We don't need Pam Bondi forcing things from Office Depot. This is the kind of amateur hour, people-pleasing crap we cannot afford at this time. Pam Bondi is not an intern at the local law firm. She's not some nobody in society. Pam Bondi, right or wrong, for better or worse, has arguably the most important position in the United States of America right now, and that includes the presidency. That includes the presidency. What we need from Pam Bondi right now is more than we need from any one individual in the United States of America. And this seems like amateur hour, ridiculous crap. And that pales in comparison to what came out yesterday when she said, we're going to start prosecuting hate speech.
There's free speech and then there's hate speech. And there is no place, especially now, especially after what happened to Charlie, in our society.
Do you see more law enforcement going after these groups who are using hate speech and putting cuffs on people so we show them that some action is better than no action?
We will absolutely target you, go after you, if you are targeting anyone with hate speech, anything. And that's across the aisle.
Hate speech is not a thing. Free speech is hate speech. Now, you can't threaten people with violence, of course, but this is the tactic of the communists. This is how tyrannical communists throughout history have attacked people's freedoms. They've done it to you. They've done it to me. This is the justification the Biden White House used to go to Facebook and Twitter and tell them to cancel your account for questioning COVID measures and things like that. And we don't even need her focused on this ridiculous crap again. I want to stress this. It's not just the John Brennans and James Comeys of the world have to burn, and she's the one who does it. The John Brennans and James Comeys of the world are deeply connected. FBI, CIA, they will have super deep pockets. This woman is going to have to go up against the finest defense attorneys on the planet if she is to be successful. This woman has to head up the task force that tears apart internet cells wherever they are found, and we get this amateur hour crap. Amateur hour is over. It's not 1980. It's 2025. We don't have time for this. I don't know whether she can be replaced with someone decent. I don't know whether or not she can be shaken awake, but I would kindly ask Pam Bondi to get off Fox News, get off the podcast circuit, and start doing what we need you to do, AG. The country needs it now. If you're not ready, get your butt back to Florida. We'll find someone who is. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. I'm skeptical. I'm a natural skeptic, I'll be honest with you. And this summer, remember I told you we went to Montana? I was hanging out a lot with my sister who lives up there. And she started talking about colostrum, colostrum this and colostrum that, and started talking about how great her stomach feels now and how she never gets sick anymore. And I thought to myself, that doesn't sound real. That surely isn't real. But reluctantly, decided to, because cowboy colostrum is delicious. There's strawberry and chocolate and vanilla. So what I started doing was pouring a couple scoops of my coffee in the morning. Two scoops in the morning. So I now have chocolate coffee. I've not been sick since. I'll tell you what, the stuff is amazing and tastes really, really, really good. You're going to struggle not to put in three or four scoops. CowboyColostrum.com/JesseTV. Go get some.
There is a domestic terrorism movement in this country. When you see these organized doxing campaigns where the left calls people enemies of the Republic, calls them fascists, says they're Nazis, says they're evil, says they have to be removed, and then prints their addresses, what do you think they're trying to do? They are trying to inspire someone to murder them. That is their objective. That is their intent. We are going to do what it takes to dismantle the organizations and the entities that are fomenting riots, that are doxing, that are trying to inspire terrorism, and that are committing acts of wanton violence. It has to stop. And my message is to all of the domestic terrorists in this country spreading this evil hate, you want us to live in fear? We will not live in fear, but you will live in exile.
Wow. I've got to tell you, the clarity I have heard from the White House in the wake of this assassination, not just Stephen Miller, Donald Trump himself, J.D. Vance, has been pretty on point. Joining me now, you know, Steve will give us the straight skinny on what he thinks, the host of the wonderful Steve Dace Show, Steve Dace. Steve, clarity is wonderful.
What Stephen is addressing there, Jesse, is what I am dubbing political sadism. And this goes beyond even divisive partisan rancor, worldview clashes, where now I get off on the literal physical suffering of my opponents. And I cannot wait to share that kink publicly and that fetish publicly with others similarly fetishizing and kinkizing this level of sadism. We cannot tolerate it in any form of a civilized society. Brother, I'm just going to tell you right now, if we let this go mainstream, we're 5 minutes away from Antietam, and it won't be you and I with boots on the ground, Jess. It's going to be our sons and grandsons. They're going to be there. We have to, Stephen Miller is correct. We have to punish this political sadism. There needs to be a very high social cost and stigma. To me, the outings, shunnings, and firings that are currently occurring on social media should continue until morale improves. My morale, mine, not theirs, mine. Till my morale improves, and yours and your audiences. This just cannot be allowed in any form of a civilized society. It's the most uncivilized of behaviors. Teachers showing these videos to their students and gleefully getting off on it. People, and when you look at the industries where we're seeing a lot of this in, healthcare, education, you know, these are supposed to be caretaker industries, neutral parties who just care about the human condition, and yet it appears they are completely replete with this sadistic savagery. It's got to be rooted out. It cannot be tolerated. To me, it's now the number one political objective we have, is that this political sadism has to be rooted out, exposed, and ultimately, and most importantly, punished.
I look at it, not just do I agree with what you just said, Steve, I look at it in practical terms. We have for decades sat around while communists have embedded themselves in critical institutions in this country. And so now, if this is an opportunity to root out some of those demons, maybe even the most vile, certainly the loudest of them, that's only a net win, not just for us and my emotional well-being, for the United States of America. We're better off today than we were yesterday if some communist nurse got fired and now it's not going to look over me as I have my heart surgery.
100%. You know, I think I've used this analogy on your show in the past. The reason that Reagan did the arms military buildup he did in the 80s was he wanted to send the signal to the Kremlin after two decades of weakness in the Cold War that there was mutually assured destruction, because the crazies in the Kremlin were beginning to think they could launch and they might win a nuclear war and we might stand down and hand them the world. And Reagan wanted to show them, you launch, we will launch back, and there is no winner. There's just a radioactive anthill. And that mutual destruction, is assured destruction, created a term called deterrent. What we need in our body politic right now, Jesse, whether it is you can shoot our candidates, you can imprison our candidates, you can shoot our generals out in broad daylight, you can cancel me, you can shun me, you can take me off the air, you can deprive me of a living, is it's one side doing this, and there's no reprisal. And there's no real organized pushback. And they will keep they'll keep instigating, they'll keep amplifying these efforts, and there'll be more Charlie Kirk, sadly, unless we finally establish mutual assured destruction. You cannot do this to us. We will return the favor. There's no win here. This is a nihilistic, you just turned down nihilistic avenue. Turn back. You won't like how this street ends. Because right now they think they're going to win this. That's why they're so out in the open. They think now it is safe for them to gleefully demonstrate just how tar black the soul of these people really are. And we need to show that, nope, there's the societal cost for this is too high. You cannot do this. You cannot inject this into the water table of the culture, or you will be shunned. And I love the word that Stephen used there, exiled. Exactly. You will be exiled from polite society, like we exile actual racists. No one stands up and says, here's my white sheet and here's the cross I just burned in my black neighbor's yard last night. No one would do that. They would expect to completely lose everything they care about in life if they did. No one stands up and says, hey, here's my NAMBLA membership card and actually let me put on my Facebook page pictures of all the kids I molested. No one does that because they know they would be shunned and they'd lose the societal cost. They'd lose everything in life they hold dear. And that needs to be how we punish this political sadism next.
Yeah, speaking of this sadism, there's a video I know you've seen. There's a lot of them I could show you. I know you've seen them all the way I have, but this was a student at Texas Tech.
Your homie dead! Your homie dead! Your homie dead! He got shot in the head! Your homie dead!
Evil is real, people, and it kind of looks like that.
Steve, setting aside everything else, the anger, she was arrested and expelled. Credit to Texas Tech for that. I want you to tell me, take as much time as you need, how does someone turn into that?
Brother, that is the old stained glass window term for what your audience just saw is idolatry. And that ultimately every heart has a God-shaped hole, as the philosopher Blaise Pascal acknowledged. And we are either going to put the creator of the universe in that space, and then that will help us to rightly divide how the world operates and have the right worldview and understanding of why the world is the way it is, why we are the way we are, and then what can be done about it, and then what's the purpose and meaning of my life. If we do not put the creator of the universe there, we're going to put the things of this fallen world there instead. And what it'll turn us into is what you see in that woman. I mean, she is lost to what I call the spirit of the age. She has given herself over to another religion, all right? And she thinks it's just a political ideal or a moral ideal. It is every bit a religion, except it is not the religion that compels the building of hospitals or orphanages or mercy or grace, but one that offers no mercy and grace, truly demonic and nihilistic in nature. And if a white student had come up to her and screamed and yelled, I hope every black person dies. I hope everyone who thinks like you is dead. I think everyone who wants racial equality, I hope they all die. That person would be expelled and expunged from polite society, and almost nobody would stand up to defend them because they did it to themselves. They played themselves. This needs to happen now on the other foot. See, when you're this far gone, you won't police yourself. You're too far gone. And so there's going to need to be external forces, societal pressures, social mores that'll do it for you, that'll make you think, even if I think this, I wouldn't dare inject this into the body of the water table of the culture, because the cost would be too high. I'll lose my standing. I'll lose my job. I'll lose relationships. We need to go back because of so much spiritual lostness in this culture. We need to reestablish shame-based, mutually assured destructions. You will be rightfully shamed if you do these kinds of things, so do not do them. If you won't police yourself, then we will do it for you.
Steve, I have to be honest, buddy. I despise James Lankford more than I hate any talking head on CNN.
Oh, I was just saying that on my own show, Jesse.
That little wildebeest.
Oh,
yeah. Yep. You know, here he was again. Here's another clip, and I'll give it to you. Here he was.
At any governmental level or in the private sector, are you comfortable having someone fired for an utterance about Charlie Kirk's death?
Yeah, this is about protecting the individual businesses, and what people are seeing is this cancel culture that still persists.
Steve, I can't talk me off a ledge, buddy. I just can't deal with this fucking eunuch anymore.
I'm not only going to not talk you off the ledge, I'm going to say move over, Rover, okay? Find me a spot, all right? A shotgun. I opened my own show with this earlier today. I do not have any temptation at all to hate people that are demonically deceived, even as I am, you know, using whatever tools God allows me to defeat their ideology. Therefore, by the grace of God, go I. The people that I struggle to not hate are James Lankford, frankly. The people that wear our own jersey and simp and ankle grab for the spirit of the age. And one of the reasons why a 31-year-old friend of mine with two small children at home is never coming home to hug those babies ever again is because he had to go and do the dirty work that men like James Lankford for the last generation were just too good to do, with Bible verses, of course. And of course they didn't want to get their hands dirty. They couldn't be bothered to do that work. And they were actually claiming they were the ones reaching out to the middle of the aisle and across the aisle. The only thing that James Lankford's ever reached out to do is try to pass a mass amnesty bill against behind our backs in an election year just about a year ago. James Lankford is a despicable traitor, and the contrast of leadership between Erica Kirk in the deepest of despair you could possibly be as a wife and a mom, and you see the extraordinarily prophetic statement that she gave on Friday night, and you contrast that with James Lankford, Mr. Christian, and yet on a Sunday morning, he ain't in church, Jess. No, on Sunday morning, he's at the Church of the Spirit of the Age, grabbing his ankle, saying, thank you, sir, may I have another. We'll pontificate for food. We'll betray my own base for clicks and for audience. And tisk, tisk, please, no, I'm not like those other Christians out there. No, you're not. You're not, James, which is why Charlie is having a hero's burial all over the country as we speak, and you, sir, are reduced to CNN.
Steve, talk again soon, brother. You feel revved up and ready to go. I do. All the time I do. And I didn't 4 or 5 years ago. I used to get home from work and just be crashing, tired, done with the day, counting the minutes till bedtime. Now I feel good. I get home, I want to go for a walk. I want to play with the kids. That's because of Chalk. Chalk has changed my life. Natural herbal supplements will change your life and make everything better. I have 70-year-olds emailing me, telling me they just came from the doctor's office and their T levels are like a 20-year-old. With natural herbal supplements? Go take a male vitality stack from Chalk for 90 days and tell me how you feel. Ladies, you are not forgotten. A female vitality stack for you. The best quality in herbal supplements I have ever experienced in my lifetime can be found at chalk.com/JesseTV. Go get some. There's something I want to talk to you about as it pertains to the system. Really, the communists, but now that they've conquered the institutions, it's the system itself. Something normal people really struggle to understand, and that is this. They are at war. With what? That, of course, begs the question, but what do you mean at war? At war with what? With everything. There is a mentality. It's demonic. Don't worry, communism's demonic, so you have to accept that, but there is a mentality that is like a virus on the left. American Democrats, really, they have this flowing through them, a mentality that everything is wrong. Everything is bad. The entire world, every institution, including the institution of the family, everything must be burnt down and destroyed. I've called it a religion of domination, a religion of destruction so many times. I hope it's finally getting through to people. They are fighting a war. And because they view it as war, it justifies in their mind casualties. It's the inevitable conclusion if you believe you are fighting a war. For instance, this assassin of Charlie Kirk, somebody who's not going to ever get named on this show, We've learned that he was a relatively normal kid 2 years ago. 2 years ago, he was a normal kid. And then 2 years later, he's a demon. And a demon who thought he was right, thought he was at war. How did that happen? How in the world did he get that way? Well, as we get more and more information, we find out that he got sucked into this very, very dark internet world, this LGBTQ tranny filth internet world. Now, why does that world exist? Why is that a thing? When your child gets on their phone and starts traveling through the internet, why is there even a rest stop that is an evil demonic tranny world? Why is that a thing? Because they are trying to destroy our children. It's not accidental. It's not something they're passive about. They are trying to destroy everything. And your children are most definitely a target. And they can get them in and they can wreck them. And they think they're justified in doing so. They think they're justified in everything. Whether it's killing somebody, burning things down, vandalizing, destroying everything you love is the entire point behind it. Did you see they had a mural of Charlie at UNC Wilmington? And then somebody defaced it, painted a Black Lives Matter mural over it. Now, how in the world, in your mind, do you justify something like that? It's just a mural honoring someone who's dead, who meant a lot to people. How do you convince yourself you're the good guy? Well, their war they're fighting, it's constantly being reinforced by the elite communists in our society, elite communists in the media, elite communists in politics. They are telling these people they're at war. Have you ever seen Democrat politician speak on stage? Of course you have. We played you a million clips on this show. Have you ever seen their ads? You will notice something now that I pointed out. You've probably already noticed it. They're never actually selling, this is going to work for you and make your life better. That's very rarely even brought up. What they're always selling is revenge. This guy's bad. These people are evil. You elect me and I'll hurt them. Constantly reinforcing the notion that everything's bad, everything's evil, and you're at war with it. Everything's bad, everything's evil, you're at war with it. Why do you think they've fallen in love with that term fascist?
Let me ask you tonight, do you think Donald Trump is a fascist?
Yes, I do.
This is what kicking the out of fascism looks like.
Try to prevent the spread of the lawlessness and the fascist chaos that's been unleashed against us.
So when we say Donald Trump is a fascist, fascism, a huge component of fascism, is uniting racism, bigotry, a form of racist nationalism.
We are now living in a fascist dictatorship.
Mm-hmm. We are worried about potential rise of fascism in this country. We're worried about our democracy falling to an authoritarian and potentially fascist form of government.
Not only to roll over to Donald Trump's will, but to roll over our democracy and allow him to take over this country as a fascist dictator.
When fascism isn't just coming, it's already here.
The former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Mark Milley, said, "No one has ever been more dangerous to this country than Donald Trump, and he is a fascist to his core."
Credit to Western Lensman for putting that thing together. This kind of language over and over and over and over and over again reinforces in the mind of Democrats that they are fighting a war against evil, a war against everything, and that everything must be destroyed. Why is it they seem to wreck whatever they go into? Why? Why did they wreck the teaching profession, the nursing profession? Why did they wreck Bud Light, the Cub Scouts, the NFL, the FBI? Why? Because they're trying to. That is the whole point of it. They're trying to. People will point out, Disney's a great example of this. Disney had all these popular superhero movies, Avengers this and Avengers that. Now they're all flopping at the box office. Well, why do they keep promoting feminism in these movies? Why is everything gay now? Because they're trying to destroy it. They are at war with everything, absolutely everything. and it gives their conscience permission to do the worst things in the world, because you can do what you want to your enemy when you're at war. Did you hear Stephen Miller's wife?
The morning after our dear friend Charlie was assassinated, I take a step out on my porch and I had a lady out there saying, "I'm watching you." They then doxed my family by distributing flyers all over our neighborhood saying that my husband, Stephen Miller, is a Nazi, is a war criminal, and had our home address. They spread it all over our neighborhood and have continued to do so, not only at my children's parks, but around town. And as you and I both know, what they're intending to do is not just peacefully protest. And maybe these people are not the assassins, but they are inciting the same violence that we saw take out our friend Charlie Kirk last week.
They're at war. And they're not sorry because something terrible happened. That's what they wanted to happen. And don't for a second think that this violent mentality is simply isolated to a couple tranny freaks online. Did you see what a judge in Ohio said? This is what he said. Quote, "How's he feel about gun violence and gun control in hell now? So a white guy killed him. Color it karma. Rest in hatred and division." That's a judge at war with everything good, with everything decent, everything you hold dear. He believes it is his job, his duty to tear it down. And that's why they operate the way they operate. And that's why the feelings, the emotions gush out of them in the most bizarre ways to normal people. Did you see this ABC reporter when the information about the text messages came out?
"We have seen an alleged murder with such specific text messages about the alleged murder weapon, where it was hidden, how it was placed, what was on it. But also, it was very touching in a way that I think many of us didn't expect. A very intimate portrait into this relationship between the suspect's roommate and the suspect himself, with him repeatedly calling his roommate, who is transitioning, calling him my love, and I want to protect you, my love." So it was this duality of someone who the attorney said not only jeopardized the life of Charlie Kirk and the crowd, but was doing it in front of children, which is one of the aggravating circumstances of this case. And on the other hand, he was, you know, speaking so lovingly about his partner. So a very interesting and, as Pierre said, riveting press conference, David.
It was touching. He was touched. He, of course, has since apologized since the world came down on him, but that's how he felt. He's touched by the whole thing. The average Democrat is not mortified by violence. They are at war with everything, and they understand that violence is simply part of it, a necessary part of it. And look, the ones who aren't openly celebrated justify it all the time. They're sometimes very overt about it, sometimes not, but how many different versions of what Montel Williams said on CNN here? How many different versions of this have you seen? He kind of had it coming.
There are people who are trying to pigeonhole this as a leftist thing and a right thing. And what we're really talking about, hear me, because I'm going to throw you when I say this. We're talking about a love-torn child, a kid. This is probably his first real relationship. And somebody was disparaging the person that he loved. He sat on that building for 30 minutes before he took the shot. Why did he wait until the first word trans came up? Then he took the shot.
You think he heard it? He could hear it?
I think he could hear it. I think he also, I don't believe he was motivated politically. I think this was motivated emotionally. I think this was a emotionally stunted person who literally, when I say it this way, just hear me, tried to defend his significant other.
They are at war with everything. And this is why you must purge communists everywhere you find them. Get them out of your school board. Get them out of the teaching profession, the nursing profession. I don't care if you're a company that sells brake pads and you have communists in there. Get them out. Get them out of your society. Get them out of our country, because they are at war with it. They're at war with themselves, too. Remember that. They're at war with themselves. They hate themselves. It's demonic. It's deeply disturbing. And this is now the fight we have. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. right. I love my cell phone company. I love having a cell phone company that I never have to worry about. Because here's the thing. I had, before I switched to Pure Talk, I had T-Mobile. And I remember we had to go to the mall. It was time to get my kid a phone, replace a phone. I forget what we were doing at the mall, but there was a T-Mobile there in the mall. And we went to the mall and walked right up to the door, and there's a big old pride flag slapped right there on the door. And I remember feeling about that high that I pay for that. I pay for all that filth, all this corporate America filth, AT&T, T-Mobile, Verizon. We pay for that. You can switch to Pure Talk and never have to worry about your cell phone company again. You'll never wake up to a rainbow flag, maybe an American flag, never a rainbow flag. And you'll pay way less, not a little less, way less. Switch. PureTalk.com/JesseTV. They make it easy. Time to switch is now.
How do you want to be remembered?
I mean, if I like, die?
Everything just goes away. How would you, if you could be associated with one thing, how would you want to be remembered?
I want to be remembered for courage for my faith. That would be the most important thing. Most important thing is my faith in my life.
That's wonderful. And it's spreading now. Certainly was this past Sunday. Hopefully, with all the other ugliness going on, there is a revival coming. I feel like there might be. Joining me now, Pastor John Amenchukwu, Turning Point USA contributor, young adult pastor for the Upper Room Church of God in Christ in North Carolina. Pastor, maybe it's wishful thinking, so you can tell me if it's wishful thinking, but it feels like this is revival time.
It does. You know, martyrdom is a unique and strange thing. The word martyr means witness. And Charlie was assassinated, not simply killed or unalived. You know, we don't use that kind of terminology. He was assassinated because of his biblical worldview and because of his political positions. And when martyrdom takes place, even as we see in the Bible, it causes revival because it deepens the courage and stiffens the spines of men and women who call on the name of Jesus Christ.
Pastor, can you explain why that is the case? Because it very clearly is the case. I went to a vigil in my tiny town on Saturday night expecting there to be five people. There were hundreds in a tiny town, and kids, old people, speaking boldly, reading Bible verses, praying. Shouldn't they be afraid? Someone was just killed for that.
Well, you know, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind, of a sound conscience. And so, yes, naturally, because of our humanity, we may sense fear. But there is something in us that's greater than ourselves, and it's the Holy Spirit, you know, and these things take place and give us power to do unimaginable things and to stand bold, you know, as lions against the onslaught of the culture. And that's what Charlie Kirk embodied for 31 years. And it's sad to say that we live in a world and in a culture where if a person can't defeat your arguments, they seek to take your life. But even in assassinating Charlie Kirk, they were still not able to prove him wrong because you cannot assassinate the truth.
Mm-hmm. In this time, we obviously need a strong, wonderful church as much as ever, but that's not universal, obviously. I lost my church a few years ago because of my effeminate pastor who wouldn't speak boldly. We have terrible churches of every race and creed in this country. Here's a pastor, well, at least they call him a reverend, Jamal Bryant, after Charlie was killed. Here he was.
I'm concerned about all of these Negro preachers who've been, in fact, talking about that this man that was killed was the answer to Christ in the earth. Y'all ain't saying nothing. They having moments of silence in black churches all over the country over a man that was racist and a white supremacist. How dare you compare him to Martin Luther King? The only thing that Charlie Crist and Martin Luther King got in common is both of them was killed by a white man. After that, they got nothing else in common.
Pastor, that's so poisonous for everybody. It's just so such poison, and it sickens me that it happens from the pulpit.
The person that you just listened to, his name is Jamal Bryant. He's a heretic and a race hustler and a race baiter. There are a lot of things that Charlie Kirk and Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. had in common. First and foremost, the first thing that jumps off the pages is the fact that they were both Christians. They believed in American exceptionalism. They both believed in a nuclear family. They were both fathers and husbands. They both fought against victim mentalities, and they both wanted what was best for the black community. And there are some people who will tell you that Charlie Kirk was racist and a bigot. I've worked for Turning Point USA for the past 3.5 years. I'm married to a beautiful black woman, have black children. I would never work for a day, even if they were paying me tens of millions of dollars, I wouldn't work for a day for a person that I thought was racist. Charlie wasn't a racist, but he was one heck of a realist. And what he would do is critique different individuals and lifestyles and ideologies and behaviors with scripture and with facts. But the problem is with men like Jamal Bryant, he has failed to live a standard where the black church has something to live up to. He's dumbed down the standard. Charlie believed that black Americans in this country could live up to a higher standard. And that's what he talked about. And with facts and with information, he addressed these issues, but people like Jamal Bryant don't want to hear the truth. So instead of embracing the truth, he would much rather succumb to calling him a racist. Charlie wrote the foreword in my last book, all right? And it's just so powerful, the things that he said. I want to share this with you. Charlie said, he said, I had to watch thousands of pastors call themselves non-essential and gladly close their churches to worshipers for weeks or even months at a time. I've seen pastors who fear their neighbors more than they fear God, who fear dying most of all. And why would anyone want to follow a Christian who is worried about dying? And then he goes on to say many glowing things about yours truly. Charlie supported me. He is the reason why my message went across this nation in the manner that it did. When I joined forces with him, I didn't have a large following. I didn't have a huge platform. I didn't have the donors pouring in and supporting my efforts. But because of Charlie Kirk seeing the favor of God upon my life and knowing that I had something to say and offer this nation, Charlie allowed me to incubate within Turning Point USA, and he pushed my message and elevated my voice.
Pastor, I appreciate you very much. God bless. Come back soon. Thanks for watching. Please go subscribe to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/@JesseKellyDC.
This is an iHeart podcast.